Welcome back to episode 197 of the BlockRunner podcast. Here's where we discuss the latest development in cryptocurrency while we make this new technology relatable to you. You can watch this podcast on YouTube to follow along with our discussion. Another way to stay up to date is by signing up to our newsletter at theblockrunner.com. As always, we have your host, William, talking to your co-host, Iman. And here are some of the topics they discuss today. First up, dedicating to the impact of Bitcoin census layer and the infinite energy required to secure it. Next, discussing the implication of the first and second law of thermodynamics of Bitcoin, shedding light on its incorruptible nature. Then, contemplating how AI and blockchain can revolutionize value networks and challenge the norms of scarcity by fostering abundance through atomic rearrangement. And finally, the value provided by token holders in the crypto industry, discussing the potential effects of airdropping tokens to unite human efforts. All right, let's listen in.
Welcome back to another episode of the BlockRunner podcast. I'm your host, William, always here with your co-host, Iman.
Yo, yo.
And on six, we got TJ.
Hello.
And we're back. We were supposed to interview Foxy, but that didn't happen.
another one of us, dude. Another week of just us riffing, you know, speaking, just talking the old talk as we seem to do.
Yeah. So this time we're going to get a little physics.
Well, yeah, I guess.
We're going to get into a little biology debate on whether how relevant biology is in reality.
I mean, I don't understand why this is even a debate. It's like, I don't know, dude, just because, you know, I have a little bit
Biology doesn't exist without physics. That's my point. It's like my physics is like the foundation.
Of course.
And then you build on top of that.
But my contention is that without biology, like the physics doesn't even like have relevancy in a sense. Like, well, because without the biological systems in place to generate consciousness throughout the universe.
Yeah, biology is the universe's way of becoming self-conscious.
It's the application of the physics layer, right? And that's one of the big questions I kind of wanted to get into.
See, I think you've said it best there.
Yeah, it's the application of physics.
Yes.
Yeah, it is the front end. Okay, so we're going to talk about a lot of weird shit. You guys are going to like actually understand just how crazy we are, I think, after this one.
Or how crazy right we are.
I don't know. But these are the weird thoughts that go through our head. I don't know why. They just do. Things like simulation theory. I'm starting to become much, much more convinced that this is like actually possibly a truth, or at least getting closer to a truth, maybe, of like an explanation for like why are we here.
Yeah, the universe has pixels.
There's actual technical evidence, I guess, to support. Like, there's a lot of parallels between like computational machinery and how like things are rendered in like a virtual sense, and how things are basically rendered and manifested in our physical reality. Like, there's a lot of parallels there that can be identified. They have been identified. So it's like, why? Yeah. The fact that there are like limitations in our own physics itself. Right, there's parameters. There's thresholds. Like speed reaches like a maximum. Like why? Oh, it also does in our like technical infrastructure. Like information can only travel so quickly.
But yeah,
a lot of that is rooted in physics, right?
Yeah, 100%. Speed of light, 300,000 kilometers per second.
Yeah.
Like, why is that the speed limit? Is your question, right?
Stuff like that. Yeah. Why? Well, why do we have to have like impose limitations in our physical reality? Like we do, if we're concocting like a virtual simulation, a virtual metaverse, if you will.
See, and that leads to the theory that this is a simulation, is because when we build our own simulation called the metaverse, it's built with limitations, right?
It has to be,
Because if you don't build those limitations, then you have a metaverse that doesn't work.
Yeah, those limitations are usually set by, like, you have, like, some predefined, I guess, like, expectation of, like, what's your user base going to be, right? You're building a mobile metaverse. So it's like, I pretty much know the specifications that need to be like respected. Like these are the laws of like the mobile arena in a sense, like the physics almost. Like this is what the hardware is capable of processing, right? So I need to construct this virtual environment according to those current day laws, right? Because those laws change over time as technology advances.
Yeah. Right. Which leads to the point. Yeah. Right. Yeah. If you have to build in limitations into the universe or metaverse that we're creating, and our reality has limitations,
yeah,
then you can suggest that we were part of a simulation, part of a program with its own limitations.
Potentially, yeah. Like, if in that context, it could be some. So the theory rabbit hole goes pretty deep. It's like, oh, there's some sort of like advanced civilization or advanced something out there that kind of like set this simulation that we're all in into motion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, okay, why isn't this like universe? Why do the laws stay grounded? Why is it fixed? Right.
Yeah. Like, why can't we not break the laws of physics?
Yeah. Maybe this is just like, okay, this is like the Pentium core processor of their technology stack, right? Maybe like wherever they're from, however time applies or whatever their physics is.
Yeah.
It's like they've advanced like so much further than what this physical reality represents. This is just like that deployment's version of like their technology scale.
Yeah. Potentially. We might be inside of a Pentium 2 system. This is like lame compared to like
super lame
what's out there.
They have like the, you know, what's like the best thing we have right now, like from a hardware perspective?
The Apple Vision Pro.
Well, what is that? Like, what is that like processor?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're talking about, well, we have like system level processors. We have like iPhone processors. We have laptops.
Right.
All right. So,
well, the point is like a 20 year leap. Like, imagine the.
Well, it's more than that, right?
Whatever. 20, 30, a leap of grand magnitude. What's the difference in like what it is we can enable compared to like 20, 30 years ago?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You know, so imagine what that looks like, what that universe built around those parameters based on that technology scale would look like in comparison, right?
Yeah. You would think
almost that, boundless.
You'd think that they've solved like societal issues.
Right.
Did you know that we're more than just a YouTube channel? We also built Mscribe, the first inscription platform built from the ground up for the metaverse on Bitcoin. Connect your bitmap ordinals and use our tools to bring your community into the virtual realm. Support us by joining the movement at mscribe.io. Like, comment, and subscribe for the latest alpha. Back to the video.
So that's where these conspiracies or these theories come into play. It's like, we could imagine this, right?
Yeah.
And like, as our technology continues to improve, at some point, some people suggest it's inevitable where we're going to be able to recreate maybe something as close to mimic our current day reality in a virtual space.
Yeah. So the discussion today revolves around the idea of why the non-arbitrary anything matters.
Yeah, I think so. We've been talking about that a lot.
Yeah. It's like, why should anyone, like, why does it matter that we can create things in a non-arbitrary way? Right, like specifically for bitmap or specifically for tokens, and why does that matter?
Yeah, like how does it actually factor into like an actual quantifiable value add to the metaverse equation? I guess like the metaverse inevitability, right? We're going to create us human beings at some point are going to advance our technology to a state where we can deploy a very robust, very powerful, like extrapolating to the future, like imagine quantum computing is actually consumer ready and mass producible.
Yeah.
Like what that actually enables, it's we can't even fathom it. But basically we would be able to truly live in a digital existence space.
Yeah.
And we have the computational resources to support something of like grand scale that we can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Right.
So what is the application of this non-arbitrariness, though? Like what value is gained as a result?
How does that add? Yeah. What does that actually add into that future scenario? Like, because imagine DMT and nobody ever understood or discovered that, you know what, Bitcoin is this like hard substrate layer that can be leveraged for a new digital like manifestation, materialization, whatever you want to call it, digital matter. I mean, all these things we're describing would probably still fall in place, right? We'll still have super advanced technology.
Yeah.
We're still going to have super robust, highly technical, very immersive virtual spaces and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really stopped. So now that we've injected this whole thing into it, what have we actually added as far as like value?
Yeah, what has changed as a result?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we were talking about this like from like a macro perspective. It's like we have a society, right?
Yeah.
And in that society, we have an economy. Within that economy, we're all following the same laws, right? Called thermodynamics, right? Called the laws of physics, right? We all have to play by the same rules as in regards to those physical laws.
Mm-hmm.
And so it isn't that much of a stretch to think that when we create a digital society where we're not limited by our physical distances, mm-hmm. we have to follow similar laws. And right, and we thought, I was like, well, the digital laws in this like type of space would be based off of Bitcoin, right? Because it has the hardest data layer known to mankind.
Yeah.
And so it seems reasonable to think that why not base an economic system based off of those laws?
That's a good point. I guess it comes down to consensus, right? Because the difference is in this physical reality, all these laws are imposed beyond our will.
Yeah, right? Whether you believe in it or not, right? They are there.
Human beings had no input into like the construct of all of this.
Yeah.
Whether there's some other advanced civilization that factored in all these different parameters, it's like this is it.
Yeah.
We had no input in that decision. Right. We just have to deal with it and make the best of what we can.
Correct.
But in this virtual space, human beings are in complete control.
Yeah.
We are the constructors, actually.
Yeah.
So we get to make these decisions. So it is important, like you're saying, to outline consensus around this from an economics perspective is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right? Because we talk about interoperability within the metaverse is like a huge unlock, right? Even Zuckerberg says this is the big thing. We want interoperability. Mm-hmm. We want like this sword that I've crafted or whatever in this virtual ecosystem to translate to all other virtual ecosystems. Like that's a true metaverse.
Right? Yeah.
So it's like, okay, and we're going to really need to all agree like on the fundamental economics of that digital space.
Right? Yeah.
So you're right. It's kind of like if we don't have something that's so concrete, so undeniable.
Yeah.
There's going to be a stratification of belief, like where the value actually comes from.
Yeah. Right? Take a look at this example. When you have gold versus silver, right? Mm-hmm. Gold is more rare than silver, right? Gold is more valuable than silver.
Because there's less of it, I guess, right?
Yeah. And it's harder to kind of mine and all that stuff.
Okay.
And it is universally recognized as such.
It is.
Right? Across the globe.
Yeah.
Right? And so imagine if you base your tokens off of this same mechanism where you can generate this token based off this data on Bitcoin's layer, and it is universally recognized that it is, you cannot manipulate like its existence.
Yeah, but couldn't you argue the same thing for, I mean, Bitcoin is that, right? It's arbitrary.
Right.
But it is verifiably, I guess, tamper-proof. So the fact that it was arbitrarily set, like this is the quantifiable limit of its existence.
Right.
And it's well, there's consensus around that, right? Because there's absolute belief that that number will never change.
Yeah, right? But that number that was arbitrarily chosen by Satoshi, 21 million, it could have been anything else. That's not the value of Bitcoin. The value of Bitcoin is not that it's 21 million.
No, definitely. I don't think so.
The value is the consensus mechanism that is introduced.
Well, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, though. Clearly, you can achieve consensus around arbitrary.
Yeah.
Digital commodities, and it's been happening for 15 years. So I guess we're saying, man, I don't know. Is there a potential where now we're kind of leveraging the actual value of Bitcoin? Like you're saying, Bitcoin, the number is not what makes Bitcoin valuable.
Correct.
It's the actual,
the consensus,
the network,
energy, the hash rate, the security.
But all those are the things that make up this substrate that we're describing.
Correct.
Right? That is like what is the tamper-proof. As close to like a physics layer, right?
Yeah, laws of physics, correct.
Something, a governing principle, a governing law, something that you can actually, we could all form consensus around. It's like, that whole, not just the number of Bitcoin that exists, all the data within it, like it is equally as valuable.
Yeah, 100%.
As like the number of however many of these tokens that are being generated.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's the new thing, right? This is what we're kind of like introducing, is this whole new vertical. It's like, I don't know. Maybe we're kind of like challenging, I guess, human beings to kind of like rethink their value premise a bit.
Another analogy is like, you know, going back to reality, right? Physics is what led to us being here, the universe being here.
Yeah.
Right. It is the Bitcoin of physics, right? Mm-hmm. It's so think of like physics being kind of like the genesis aspect of reality, right? It's innate. It is the governing mechanism that allows things to exist.
Yeah.
Think about that,
mm-hmm.
right? And so now we have Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin, although it was like generated arbitrarily, its mechanism that allows for a data layer to exist where it cannot be manipulated without an infinite amount of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that data layer existing based off these mechanisms of like hash rate, the energy input, the value output, all these things that culminate into what we know as Bitcoin.
Yeah.
That is the physics layer of the digital realm.
Yeah, but see, when you say physics, you got to be careful, right? Because I assume you mean like...
Yeah, that's true. Okay. So what I mean by...
when you say it's like, okay, that means there's like something embedded within Bitcoin, like we're going to be able to extract like a gravitational force. No.
Well, you can do that. But hell, yeah. But what I mean by physics, I'm talking about the laws of physics.
Right.
Like the laws in the physical like sphere is unbreakable.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what I mean by physics.
Yeah. That's how I'm starting to understand it. Right. Because it's not, it's not like we could say we discovered
like gravity,
digital physics. Yeah. We were talking about that. So digits. I don't know. I'm debating if that's a good term or not. It's kind of like a play on physics, but in the digital sense. Yeah.
Physical. And then ICS, what did it mean?
It's like a body of knowledge or facts. Yeah. Body it's like of a suffix facts. To represent that. So it's like this digix layer, potentially, would be that, right?
Yeah.
And it took many, many generations to kind of like discover the actual utility of physics around us, right?
It took a long time.
It's a very complicated process of actually like reverse engineering the potential code. Yeah. The parameters of what makes everything in this universe, right?
Yeah.
So kudos to humanity before us, all these very wonderful minds that actually, crazy enough to sit there and think about like, there's probably some shit going on here that's like, that wasn't written down in this like super old book I'm looking at, right. You know what I mean? I should probably go out on a limb and like explore those ideas, even though they'll probably kill me if I come out and say this shit out loud.
Good point. Yes.
Right. So without those fuckers, like truly crazy people.
Yeah.
Thinking outside the box like that, we would be like nowhere even close to where we're at. Right.
Yeah. Talk about haters and faders of those times. you would get killed.
For real.
For like, thinking outside of the book.
You're a fucking witch, dude.
Yeah.
It's like you think there's some force out there that's like,
that's not in this book.
Right. Like, in you could write these things on a piece of paper called math, and it's like somehow that explains everything. It's right. Like, outrageous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I don't think we could claim to say whenever you say there's physics on Bitcoin, that's not what you're saying.
That's not what I'm saying. Yeah.
You're saying like there's something discoverable here,
something like, unbreakable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I understand it now, which is as close to, something in the virtual space that can like parallel the utility of physics, like how we've leveraged it as a species in this physical world.
Right. So now we have the parallel established. Physics has generated everything that we know, everything, literally consciousness, the entire universe, its distance, everything, the speed of light. It's all come from physics, right? So now we have digix, right? That has come from Bitcoin. And that has come from Bitcoin in the sense that of the consensus layer, the security, the amount of energy, and all this stuff where if you try to edit this data layer, it would take an infinite amount of energy to actually secure it.
Interesting.
Right?
So that is it. Like that's Bitcoin is like a godlike power in this sense. Like you just cannot fuck with it.
You can't. You absolutely cannot do that.
Yeah.
Now it's like, well, what about quantum computing and all that? And we have quantum resistant algorithms now, right? So right now, Bitcoin is secured by SHA-256.
Mm-hmm.
You hash things twice to get the hash to actually hash the blocks together, right? So you run SHA-256 twice per transaction. So we got to get into, mining Bitcoin. But if you don't understand mining and how all that works, you're going to have to do some research. It's not that complex. It really isn't.
Yeah.
It's just if you don't know what hashing means, well, that's a rabbit hole, right? If you don't know what cryptography means and public and private keys, these are different rabbit holes.
Yeah. Don't feel like ashamed for not knowing these things either.
Shame.
Like, No, dude. No shame. This is like computer science, right? We didn't all take a computer science course in our college or high school, you know, curriculum, dude. So it's like, yeah. Sorry.
Well, even if you did take those courses, you wouldn't even know what I'm talking about because that's not even enough information.
Okay. Well, even less shame, dude. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right, so go ahead.
So now, we got physics making everything. Now we have digics. Mm. What could that make, right? And so we're over here trying to make the metaverse a digital reality.
Correct, yeah.
And so we've built a reality of like economies and society and all that based off of physics. Mm-hmm. So it's not that much of a stretch to base off the digital reality based off of digics.
Yeah, I think so. Because, yeah, we've extracted a lot of value in our real world economy based on like these underlying principles of physics, right? Like these innate commodities that exist in our physical world, we've found great utility in them.
Yeah.
We've harnessed like those properties that we understand as far as like what are the physics that generate, you know, usable energy from that, and like how do we convert that into new valuable products for our human species, and done a damn good job at that, right?
Yeah.
Of understanding our physical environment and then creating application from it.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
So it's like so let's assume even though we're going to create a virtual existence layer, whatever experience layer, it's still human beings at the end of the day who are like operating within these two, you know, parallel universes, right? There's physical, digital, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's still humans, even though we might be portaled in and out through like different hardware devices and such.
Sure. Sure.
So our brains still like react to the same feedback mechanisms and stuff. Like we're still going to interpret value in the virtual space similar to how we interpret value in the physical realm, right?
So yeah, 100%.
I think it's a feasible thesis to suggest it's like, you know, if we're going to construct a virtual like environment with like a semblance of a truly valuable digital economy, then it needs to be as closely aligned as far as like expectations go and innate value principles and properties to like our physical space, right? So
yeah,
like you were saying, physics kind of underpins all of that, and like non-arbitrary roots of value like lead to actual tangible value.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, just by injecting the possibility of that into the virtual space, it's a big deal potentially, right? Like it's getting us closer to that actual unlock of a digital economy. Right.
Hence why we think Bitmap is so valuable, because it's non-arbitrary.
It's the beginnings of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like it exists whether you believe it exists or not. It's the same thing as physics.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and that was the thing. That was what like took us by like awestruck, right?
Yeah.
Because we didn't, it's like we like knew, I don't know, I'm calling it back to the beginning days of like when we first discovered Decentraland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like 4 years ago, roughly.
Yeah.
We didn't know nothing about like that in crypto, there was going to be like a metaverse application to it. But we discovered essentially like, dude, this is a fucking great idea. Let's explore it. And we did. And we kind of like understood the real value unlock here is not going to be like the social stuff. I mean, that's cool and all.
Yeah.
But we've done a tremendous job as a species already kind of like aligning our social.
Yeah, we get our social fix already.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's not like the big unlock for the metaverse. I mean, it's cool. It's going to enhance already what we already do.
Yeah.
Make it more intimate and such. Kind of like absolve the geographical dilemma of like our physical positioning on Earth and such.
Yeah.
You know, now we're like really nut-hugging each other, right?
Right.
In the virtual space.
That's one way to put it.
That's what we really want, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's Meta's next commercial. Instead of like flipping the headsets.
Hug your nuts.
Fucking rubbing nuts together, dude. That's really what we're doing here. But we always thought it was like the real unlock is like the digital economy, right? It's like the opportunity of like.
Yeah, 100%.
Of like.
Removing the physical limitations and access to a society.
And giving the opportunity to like a majority of human beings that don't have access to like to even participate in anything of semblance of like of a sustainable economics layer.
Yeah. Access to economy.
Yeah. That's like the majority of people on Earth are just perpetually fucked because of their unfortunate geo positioning.
That's right.
That's horrible.
As billions of people.
Yeah.
Don't have access to economy.
Nothing. They can literally do nothing because, you know, whether there's so many different sources to those dilemmas, like government corruption.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe just famines and such. Who knows, yeah. right? And the people who are just unfortunately positioned on Earth, you just, most of them just have to deal with that.
Yeah.
That parameter of their existence that and random, there's no escape.
That random unfortunate like.
RNG.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, fuck. Like the real unlock is, you know, we're building the technology where it's going to be at some point be accessible to all human beings, hopefully.
Yeah.
So like all you have to do is port yourself to this alternate economy space, yeah. economic yeah. space. And now you have like free will to participate in this and extract value for yourself and hopefully, you know,
yeah.
Amplify.
Elevate yourself.
Yeah, elevate. There you go.
Yeah. Elevate yourself and the people around you.
Yeah. That's always been our belief. And it's like, fuck, man, how do we get to that?
Yeah.
That's always been our goal, right?
Man, it really feels like we're actually on our way. Like
now it does. It feels like we're getting close.
Yeah.
So like actually cracking through something that's like, that makes sense.
Right. It wasn't obvious before when we were like thinking about Decentraland that something was missing.
Exactly.
Like something innate, powerful, basic.
Yeah.
Important.
But we remember we had these conversations way back in those days on those podcasts like 4 years ago. It's like, well, let's draw back to human history, right? It's like, how did humans even construct economics?
Yeah.
Like, how does it begin?
Well, right? they discovered commodities.
Right. That's kind of like how it starts with, like, yeah, resource discovery,
yeah,
acquisition, and then industrial, like, exploitation, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what attracted human beings from all over the planet to, like, concentrate into these, like, locations where the humans were actually engaging in this discovery process.
Yeah. I mean, the Industrial Revolution was the inflection point of technology.
And innovation and yeah. economic, everything.
Progress.
Yeah, that's what gave us 100 years of like abundance.
Prosperity.
Yeah, and resulting abundance. And maybe it's all going to come tumbling down soon. Who knows? But yeah. nonetheless, like that was the inflection point. So it's like, it definitely didn't start out with like parties. That's how like the metaverse landscape is today. It's like, you know what's going to really get the ball rolling? It's like, we're just all going to party in the virtual world. It's like fucking parties all the time.
Yeah.
DJs, come over here. Boots, boots, boots. Like, that's the metaverse, right? That's what we're doing here. That's really what's going to change the world.
Yeah.
Fuck no, dude. That's not where it starts. I mean, it leads to that at some point.
Yeah.
But it starts somewhere way behind
and more a little bit more industrial,
a little more primitive.
Yeah.
Well, talking about, we have to discover foundation here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we thought that 4 years ago, but we're like, how do you actually, where is it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We were talking about doing it in a way that was arbitrary. It's just like, completely, we just make arbitrary. Up these like commodities, and then you just like deploy this application that allows you to extract these commodities, and it was just like
kind of like an ARSIC.
Yeah.
A 3D version of an ARSIC in Decentraland.
It was exactly that.
Yeah. We were thinking about doing exactly that, but something about that just felt like.
Yeah. Well, like we were.
Doesn't feel right.
Like God or something. We were just like arbitrarily just coming up with like the resources of the land.
Yeah. Like, here's oil. Come and get it. You know, it was like, and it's like, so then what is like the actual activity people should expect to put forth? Like what work do I have to actually do to extract my share of this arbitrary resource? And it's like, it could literally be anything. Just stand there for like at least 10 minutes and you get like some allocations, shit like that.
Yeah.
And these are like very prevalent like tokenomics models now, like in a lot of play to earn games.
100%.
Like literally like X to earn, right? Like just fucking go walk a mile and you're going to earn a token.
Yeah.
It's kind of like we've permeated these arbitrary like economic systems that don't make any sense.
Yeah.
That aren't rooted in anything human beings have like actually have extracted as valuable in the past.
Correct. Right?
Issues.
Yeah.
These are some big issues, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think you painted it perfectly. We've come up with these like these weird mechanisms to extract value digitally that don't have any basis of like of actual value.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And no basis of like a solid starting point.
Yeah. The solid starting point. So I guess we're potentially getting close to that. And shit, man. It's, I don't know. Maybe we're biased in this opinion. I always say that.
I guess that is a disclaimer.
We're definitely biased. Could be. in this
opinion. But who isn't biased though?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, we're just here trying to figure it all out, dude.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I definitely wouldn't have expected this 4 years ago. It's like, but yeah, thankfully Bitmap happened, because that's kind of like what clicked everything. Everything made sense. Like, oh shit, like, yeah, data is actually like something of grand utility. Everybody always keeps asking, like, where's the utility of like Web3, and like, how's this actually going to change anything?
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, it's
potentially
leveraging the data and its hardness.
How did Benny describe it? Remember we had a Twitter space and you asked him, because Benny, founder of Track.
He mentioned thermodynamics. Mm-hmm.
But he said something about like the monkeys, right? He's like, there's some sort of like idea out there. It's like, if you have like a million monkeys out there just like randomly hitting keys.
Oh, yeah. That
eventually like a universe will get created or something like
for
that.
For sure. Yeah, that is sort of like a, or like a theory. Or it's like basically if you if you take a box and you fill it with a die, several die, mm-hmm. right? And you just shake it up. Mm-hmm. And if you have an infinite amount of time, all the die would be like a perfect sixes across.
Or like a Mona Lisa box. Or something.
Yeah, something like
something
that.
Something beautiful.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's like a mathematics thing, right?
Yeah.
So in a sense, I guess you can kind of like translate that to Bitcoin, I guess, over time. It's like, that's kind of like what we're doing with these blockchains, right? We're just logging and registering like our monkey selves, the activity of us monkeys on chain.
Yeah.
And at some point in time, like that was actually going to manifest into something like a universe has
been something born. Useful. Yeah.
Something useful was going to actually come of that, right?
Yeah.
And people are writing articles. There's something like, Bitcoin is not, it's like a, you're going to have to explain some of these articles that you've been like sharing with me.
Yeah.
Because there's apparently people have been writing about these ideas for years.
Like,
Bitcoin is more than just.
No, Bitcoin is physics. They've been saying it for years. And that's why I like Bitcoin so much, because I recognize that.
Yeah, I was wondering why you liked Bitcoin so much. You never explained that part to me, though.
Well,
you did it.
I mean, don't
even lie, dude.
I don't think you would have understood.
Oh my God. How insulting. Come on, dude. I mean, okay.
You have to have a base understanding of like the laws of physics and why there are laws.
Yeah.
And what's being leveraged and created based off those laws.
Mm-hmm.
And if you understand these things and you see what's happening with Bitcoin, it's an easy parallel to see.
Yeah, see, you're right. I definitely wouldn't. I would have like faded. You was like, dude, you know why Bitcoin's cool? Physics. I was like, dude, get out of here with that shit. I don't want to hear it. I want to know more about, you know, the next DeFi thing on Ethereum. Yeah. Way more interesting, right?
I promise I tried to convince you, dude.
You probably did at some point in time, but I was like, obviously didn't register. And that's kind of like what's cool about all this. This whole like science angle that's starting to spill in because of DMT and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think many people have ever equated science with blockchain before.
Yeah, I find it weird because I've known about this. I mean,
there hasn't been like a real demonstration of like how the two kind of like tie together.
Yeah.
Like the actual demonstration of like thermodynamics as like a part of like information physics.
You know? No, I get it. It's like you're inventing like an engine, right? And it's like you turn on the engine as you're, just think about an engine, right? It's on, and the pistons are pumping.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, cool, but what do you use this for? You stick that in a car, all of a sudden you're moving.
Yeah.
Right? So then it's like, oh, that makes sense. I see why you saw value in this thing, in this engine.
Correct. Correct.
Right? And so it's the same thing with like we've created digital physics. It's like, cool, but, you know, so what?
Yeah.
Right? And so now we have like money. We have the hardest money we've ever created, right? We have Bitcoin. Now we can leverage that same layer to create everything else.
Interesting. Create everything else. Yeah, that's obviously one hell of a statement. one hell of a projection. Like everything else is going to be.
It's going to come from Bitcoin.
I mean, that's if you're a maxi, like that sounds like music to my ears. You
right,
know?
Right.
Like, fuck yeah, dude. But yeah, I don't know. It's just fuck.
It is crazy to think about though, like.
Well, but it's important too, because these are these new things. Like our job on this channel has always been like, we're trying to discover the next new thing that's happening in Web3, right?
Yeah.
Since the very beginning. in 2019 or whatever.
Yeah.
That's been our task, and yeah. We found a lot of new things.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time where it's like, yeah, it feels like we actually put out a new thing. And yeah. It makes a lot of sense, and I can see the value in what it can generate. And it's a little daunting when I think about that. It's like this new thing came from us, in a sense. And a lot of people they agree with us, right? So it's definitely a whole new experience. But yeah, it's like we're seeing it with the Tao stuff. It's like the new thing. Another new thing is like artificial intelligence and blockchain. Like that is a new thing.
That is a new thing.
Right? It's like, how do those two intersect?
Mm-hmm.
And why?
Yeah.
Like these are the new conversations that are kind of like occurring in this space, right? And yeah, I don't know. Who the fuck knows what that's going to lead to?
Yeah. I mean, so we interviewed Jacob Steves. He's the one of the co-founders of BitTensor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great interview talking about, you know, artificial intelligence and its potential to end humanity. And the solution, solution is to create a token.
Yeah, that was like a big mind fuck for sure. Because we were talking about aligning ourselves with artificial intelligence to like a point where we don't have to be afraid, right? Because they're going to see value in us, right?
Yeah.
To where they wouldn't want
to. Well, because we're sort of like part of them in the sense that we hold their token.
They need us.
They need
us. To pump their bags. It's like, why would you get rid of like your biggest pumpers, dude?
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? You humans are all right. You're pretty fucking stupid, but.
Yeah. But those humans who are not holding my token, you're dead.
Das Boot deleted from their realm.
Yeah.
I could see that. Yeah. And I was like, holy shit, he might be right. And I think Sam Altman's kind of like on to the same idea with WorldCoin and such. That's like a much more like dystopic vision of such. It's like, give me your eyeballs, please.
Yeah. In the pursuit of issuing tokens distributed to all humanity.
Yeah.
So that we're all aligned for the same purpose of like creating a world economy.
Something. Yeah.
Right. So,
I mean, we say that in the ordinal space, like, why is everybody all of a sudden airdropping to Bitmap holders?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, oh, I mean, why not align 32,000 people collectively through this device called a crypto token?
Yeah.
You all hold this thing now. It's like, well, so now you should theoretically
Care about it.
You should all be working together to like create some value from it.
Right? Yeah. What's interesting is that doesn't work in every case.
It doesn't. It worked in the Bitmap case.
Well,
it wasn't an airdrop.
Bitmap token itself?
Well, it's the same like thesis, right? It's like from our perspective, like that's what Bitmap represented. It's like an alignment.
And a consensus mechanism, yeah.
Yeah, it's like now we're aligned. It's like now there's a collective effort to like, you know, supply infrastructure to this thing called the metaverse, right?
Yeah, but if I like airdrop some token to you, like why should you care about it? In the sense of an airdrop. Right. So it doesn't work in all cases. Just like you could distribute dollars to everyone in humanity. I don't know if like people are going to be rooting for America as a result.
And that would do some tremendous like damage to the value. Yeah. Yeah. Correct. So, I mean, these are all experimental, I guess, applications of that. But the WorldCoin thing kind of does make sense in a little bit. You know, it's like it's an experiment, right? It's like, let's see what humanity does when we're all holding the same bag in a sense.
Yeah. Right? I mean,
it's interesting.
It is interesting. The interview was very interesting.
Yeah. And fucking Tao is just going absolutely bonkers.
When we interviewed, I think it's Const on Twitter.
Const Reborn, I think is like his handle or something like that.
Jacob Steves.
Yeah.
We interviewed him when it was like at $60 and then it went down to like $30 and now it's at 470.
Insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. It's like a top 30 crypto now.
Shit.
I think Vitalik's out there talking about it.
He's got a bag now.
Maybe. He's like, you know what? If you're going to do AI on blockchain, like you do it like BitTensor.
Yeah.
That's what we said.
Yeah.
We said that like 9-10 months ago.
That's right.
So, I mean, who are you going to listen to? Us or Vitalik, dude?
Vitalik.
Shit. But then you'd be fucking...
You'd be
10x late, dude.
Exactly, yeah.
Listen to us, dude. Come on. Vitalik's late. But yeah, it's fucking crazy. We need to kind of, I mean, we've been like ordinal maxis for about a year now.
Yeah.
Like a whole fucking year of just nothing but ordinals.
Cause there's a lot of action, dude.
Oh, of course. I mean, there's good motivation and like reasoning behind that all
it's,
in.
It's the sentiment. Digics layer, dude.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool shit on Bitcoin right now. that's non-debatable.
You know what's using the Bitcoin tokenomics?
The Tensor.
Exactly.
That's true. Yeah. Exactly. They mirrored it. They just like
they're like, I like digits.
Not I. It's like you guys like Bitcoin, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, we see you guys have aggregated like the most valuable computational network on Earth.
Yeah.
Because y'all want this arbitrary token. It's like that's right. A good idea. Maybe we should do the same exact thing.
Yeah.
But this network is completing a whole different like collective task. We're not validating
transactions
here. We're creating large language like neural networks, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
I would say so, yes.
That's a pretty good idea.
It's and like, you know, and the best part, no one owns it. No one controls it.
Yeah.
Like the token holders.
Exactly. And that's like the big fear, right? Is AI cannot be controllable.
Yeah.
AI has to be decentralized. If you're talking about something that has to be decentralized, I think AI like fits within that bucket. Dude, even though like money makes sense too.
Yeah.
But AI.
Is yeah, like, but this is important. This is like, well, if money is important, you know, there are other aspects in life that are also important, just like money. Maybe the control of AI is also important.
Yeah, I think so too. In the sense like, again, AI needs like something of like non-arbitrary root, similar, like something like a physics dependency, like just like the metaverse does, right? Like,
yeah.
You're talking about introducing like life.
Artificial intelligence based off of like non-arbitrary data. Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. Because again, if you're going to create these new technical paradigms, like they need to parallel, or they should, and I guess in our ideas, like they should parallel what we're already used to, I guess. Like,
yeah, if physics can lead to biology and therefore lead to life, digics can lead to life as well. I mean,
I think so.
The parallels there.
Yeah, that gets me to my grand, like, what I've been tussling in my own mind is trying to answer the why. Because I envision a future where it's like the real, okay, so the economic thing is obviously a very powerful unlock to the why the metaverse.
Yeah.
But it's also like, is there any value to actually human beings getting to a point? It's like we're creating these virtual simulations, whether we're in one or not. Mm-hmm. It's like, why would we do that? Like, what is the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. So what is the point of a virtual simulation?
Yeah, I guess it would make sense. So like, if let's assume we're actually in one. Why would whoever constructed this,
why
this metaverse...
Yeah, why are we here if that's the case?
What is the utility from their perspective?
Yeah, what is the purpose of this simulation experiment?
I would assume, if we put ourselves in their shoes, it's like... I want to deploy, like, again, some life form similar to our own, preset these parameters similar to our own,
yeah,
and, like, run this simulation so that we can kind of, you know, have, like, a variable
environment.
Yeah, and, like, a variable display of, like, alternate scenarios running in parallel.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to, like, know what would happen in a given decision? Well, what if I dropped a nuke here? What would happen to, like, a society, right?
Yeah.
If that happened.
What happens when you get Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce to start dating? You know?
I mean, that's just absolutely arbitrary.
Well, that's what's happening.
It's the worst timeline.
Yeah, what would that do to culture or, you know, society? Who knows? We're living in that timeline today.
Yeah, what would happen if Donald Trump was the president?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why not? You know, let these things kind of play out and...
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. This is a testing environment. A simulation is a testing environment for potential outcomes that you might inject into an ecosystem to see what happens as a result. Because you know why that's important? We use that today, right? Our army trains in VR, right? Our aerospace engineers, they design in virtual reality.
Yeah.
Right? Car engineers, they design cars virtually and they test them in like virtual wind tunnels before they build it. Everything is done virtually. Why? Because we've mimicked reality.
And what? It helps in that
It helps. It's cheaper to design, right? Well, if you design a box as a car, it's not going to be very aerodynamic, is it?
Mm-mm.
Right? So it's pretty easy to test that without building the box.
Isn't that what the Cybertruck is, dude?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the Cybertruck is one of the most efficient aerodynamic vehicles.
Really?
It's crazy.
I didn't know that. You wouldn't assume that just by looking at its Lego shape.
Yeah.
It's Lego-like shape.
It's weird.
That's good engineering then, dude.
Exactly.
Solid engineering.
Exactly.
So they probably ran those simulations. So I don't know. So it's kind of like, okay, so if we are going to leverage the metaverse as like a simulation space.
Yeah.
To serve like humanity's like better understand potential outcomes and scenarios.
It's brilliant.
Then we're going to need to create like a non-arbitrary, again, parameter set for these artificial intelligence, I guess, to kind of like exist within that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, man.
I don't know. That's just an idea.
No, that is ultimately the purpose, right? And then part of that purpose is that we can exist in that virtual environment,
yeah,
and we can interact with each other.
Mm.
And at the same time, we can learn from that ecosystem.
Yeah. How do we create like the best virtual, you know, environment for ourselves, right? By learning from all these different virtual environments that have artificial intelligence within them.
Yeah.
Again, all of them set with non-arbitrary root parameters.
Yeah.
So that, like, you know, again, there's that consensus among these different, I guess, alternate digital universes.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it doesn't sound that crazy.
I mean, I think it does, maybe.
TJ, are we crazy, dude?
Well, you're definitely crazy, but I don't know if you're wrong.
All right, that's good.
Yeah.
That means we're on our way to, like, being those guys who are like, damn, dude, not everything's in this book.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right.
We're on our way. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess ultimately, yeah, we were sort of lost there, and all of a sudden we found like, oh shit, there's physics around us. All right, we've created digital physics already.
Yeah.
And it's like, let's start using it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that wasn't too off the rails, too crazy for anybody. Mm. But I did preface this conversation saying you guys are really going to understand just how crazy thoughts can get.
Or how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, these conversations are already happening in a broader sense for sure.
Yeah, so let me read this tweet from Tomlinson. The article is so far ahead of its time. NAT is proof of Bitcoin's perpetual mission to remove entropy. Or in other words, maximize economic incentive to secure the network. So there's this article, and I'm going to show you here. It says, the self-replicating, self-organizing Bitcoin system. So the Bitcoin system mechanisms are designed to self-replicate and self-organize, while its consensus protocol ensures replication is accurate and that it's perpetually trying to remove entropy from the state of Bitcoin, the artifact being the resulting blockchain and the product of Bitcoin. So in thermodynamics, we have the second law of thermodynamics, where, mm-hmm, as time continues, as time moves forward, things become with higher entropy, meaning more disordered,
mm-hmm,
right? But from an energy consumption standpoint and a value proposition from an energy perspective, you want less entropy. You want a concentration of energy rather than a dispersion of energy, right? So that means you have to have less entropy in order to utilize that for a resource,
mm-hmm,
right? And so what's being explained here is that Bitcoin takes energy, converts it into another form of entropy that leads to less entropy, okay? And then you use that less entropy state as a form of money.
So a non-arbitrary token?
Well, Bitcoin. And then the mechanism that
creates forms order.
This, that creates order, yeah, is leveraged for non-arbitrary tokens.
Interesting. So within Bitcoin is pure entropy. Or like a higher degree of entropy.
Bitcoin takes a higher degree of entropy and takes all that that energy and then reduces it down to less entropy state,
okay,
which leads to Bitcoin.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're talking digits here.
Yeah.
That definitely has to be like very well, what's the word? I don't like formulated, I guess. Like it's definitely, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But somebody needs to convert that like actual quantifiable conversion
Yeah. So
into like a real mathematical formula that can be like extracted or extrapolated into.
Well, see, if you were to do, you can do that, as a matter of fact. It's called thermodynamics. Like literally.
Yeah.
That has been done. Right. You can apply that same thermodynamics principle to Bitcoin, and you can actually, you know, have the math to suggest this. So, but listen to this. The essence of the complex system's singular role is to be an arbiter of trust and truth in the face of adversity, to create a singular distributed current and historic state and order that all nodes can reach a consensus upon. And then it says zero entropy is the ideal state of the system. This entropy is instead moving to the growing unspent transaction outputs stored in the blockchain. So an ideal situation in like the physical realm and then like the digital realm, you want zero entropy because that's when you can utilize the most out of that asset. So take, for example, we have Earth, right? And within that Earth had created processes that yielded a lower entropy state of like fossil fuels.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Fossil fuels is a lower entropy state.
Mm.
So we discovered fossil fuels, burn the shit out of them, take that heat, send that to a turbine engine and water, and you create steam, and then turns the turbine engine, creates electricity.
Yeah.
So we took a low entropy state, created a higher entropy state, but in that transition, we created energy, or we leveraged low entropy state to generate energy.
Interesting.
And so now we have like the Bitcoin blockchain layer as a low entropy state.
That's the oil.
It is the oil. It is the fossil fuels. It is the innate value proposition that we are now extracting using non-arbitrary tokens.
That's, I think, perfect. Somebody clip that. That's the perfect like summarization. Of like, yeah, I guess that is the big realization here. And I mean, fuck, we've been hearing like data is the new oil, like catchphrases coming from big tech for years now.
It is so absolutely accurate in this context.
Yeah, in this context. I mean, it made sense even before in the sense of like big corporations are, there's obviously a big demand for it to the point where
they give you free products as a result.
Exactly. Yeah. Like we want more of that.
Yeah.
That's the good stuff now.
Yeah. Right?
So but here it's like now there's actual valuable oil that is now harvestable and extractable by everyone on Earth. And it's in Bitcoin.
It's
no longer an exclusive ownership right to like big tech.
Yeah. It's literally digital commodities, right? If you take a real commodity like oil and you make it digital, you would have a non-arbitrary token.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I believe you, dude.
Wow, dude. It took all this time for you to understand the physics of Bitcoin.
I still can't say, like, I'm 100%, like, I need to brush up on my own personal physics understanding.
Yeah.
Considering I have, like, a biology, lean.
Yeah.
So, yeah, physics is quite a daunting subject, right? But I get it. I understand the parallels.
Yeah.
It does make a lot of sense. And I could see where the value conversion occurs.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily, it is like an energy thing. So you look like, yeah, we need these fucking these actual formulas here.
First,
like,
law of thermodynamics, which is the law of conservation, is the energy of a closed system equals the heat minus work. And so as a result, this means that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It is just transformed. It transforms from a low entropy state to a high entropy state. That is, you can measure that, right? Yeah. As time goes forward, there's less entropy. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's called the slow heat death of the universe, is that we reach a point of entropy where it's so dispersed that there's nothing left.
Yeah.
Like we are a form of lower entropy state, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what makes us like exist, is that low entropy. And then, so here's what we're talking about, the second law of thermodynamics. In essence, the second law that all closed systems gravitate towards maximum entropy. Energy must be added to a system to overcome this natural tendency towards entropy. And there's like a section in here that I want to read, but I don't think I'll be able to find.
It's a pretty long article, dude.
Yeah. So I'm going to put this into the description as well. If you like physics and you like what we're talking about and its connection to Bitcoin, this is definitely a must read. And this, I don't think it gets too heavy in the physics part.
No,
but it does explain Bitcoin from a, like a different angle where right. it's like actual, it's an actual thing. Like physics is a thing.
Yeah. Well, if that's true and that's the case, then we should expect, again, like, these new, like we were talking about earlier, like biology is like an application of physics.
Yeah.
That like nature has kind of like, concocted through its own, I guess, mechanisms over time because physics is so static.
Yeah.
Like it allows the possibility of new, you know, value networks to arise. And then above that came us and consciousness, things that make physics actually valuable.
Yeah.
Then you should expect something like that to occur on Bitcoin now. And I think non-arbitrary tokens, DMT, that's like a first step towards that. This is obviously not the end of this like trajectory, right? Of like tapping into this new physics layer that is like that Bitcoin represents.
Yeah.
And like, you know, again, there's going to be a lot more like human input this time around. Like the physics and like the natural manifestations of the application of that, humans had no input in this.
Yeah.
We were just kind of subjected to its forces, you know?
Yeah. It's sort of like a non-arbitrary token and its application. It's like, you know, you discover oil on one part of the earth and I discover oil on a different part of earth, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same substance, right? It's the same non-arbitrary token, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you create
like plastic.
You create plastic and I create tires.
Hmm. Right. Good idea.
But we've used the same substance, the same non-arbitrary token to create different things.
Correct.
And that's literally what we have with non-arbitrary tokens.
Mm, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah, I'm already seeing like different ideas being concocted from the same NAT.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we're seeing it. People are already like thinking of different utilities, right?
Dude, that's so powerful.
It is. Well, that's why we're labeling this as like as true to like a real commodity.
It's a digital we've seen. Commodity. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I want to read this part here. So this is what I was talking about. It says, there is no such thing as scarcity, right? It says only thermodynamic potential and the arrangement of matter and information. So that's the only thing that exists. Thermodynamic potential and the arrangement of matter and information, right? It says, in theory, all states and distribution of matter are replicable at the atomic and subatomic level. All matter is merely information and energy distribution. The deconstruction and reconstruction of matter is a technological problem. Once solved, which we're working on it, there will be no longer a scientific absolute scarcity of any element in the universe. Through technological advancement, all matter will be able to be rearranged, and therefore all matter and energy is abundant. So I remember when I first went to college, I was really interested in nanotechnology. Which that was the application of rearrangement of atoms to create pretty much anything like gold or diamonds, whatever. If you give society and humans enough time, this is where we're headed. We're going to have literally abundance because we can take anything like a table or rocks, rearrange this atom and create gold, you know, create anything, food, right? Just by rearranging the atoms.
Yeah.
And then finally it says here, only unforgeable digital scarcity can be absolute. Therefore, only time and energy and the sum of their product have any quantitative value. So only time and energy, that's the only thing that really has quantity. Digital scarcity, the ability to remain unforgeable, is the only scarce product of creation known to man.
Okay.
And that's it.
So what is that thing? The ability to remain unforgeable.
That is the ability to remain unforgeable is the only scarce product of creation known to man.
Okay. Time.
Unforgeable would be like Bitcoin.
Well, hold on. Unforgeable. What do you mean? Like Bitcoin was made, right?
Yeah, but you can't forge it. You can't like fake it.
Oh, okay. I was interpreting that word.
Yeah, you're yeah. Unfortunate means
I'm thinking like anything that can't actually be like made, like yeah. created, which makes yeah. I mean those again, those are the physics, right? The things that are hardwired into our existence. You can't make that.
Yeah, yeah. Forgery, right, is to fake something, right? Mm-hmm. To the ability to remain unforgeable, which is Bitcoin, is the only scarce product of creation known to man. And it's all the digital scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're literally like we've discovered it,
mm-hmm.
like in a form where we can utilize with NATs.
Mm. All right, dude. Cambrian abundance. I think that says it all. That's on the way.
Right. Yeah. Advance humanity to the next level by cooperating or burn the earth to the ground around us with fossil fuels.
Very nice. All right, dude, you were going to tweet this out?
Yeah.
It's like, it's just too mind-blowing. Must be tweeted.
Yeah. All right, well, I think we've said enough as far as like...
Definitely.
Aligning Bitcoin with physics mm-hmm. and physics with non-arbitrary tokens.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how far that whole side of the narrative goes. Aligning Bitcoin or blockchain in general with science
yeah.
and physics. Is that actually going to be something of interest to a large segment of people? I think it will.
Yeah.
I it can't be any less interesting than it's like the big thing we've discovered out of blockchain is like we can make monkey pictures now.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
This has to be like something that's more captivating.
100%.
Right? Yeah. I would hope so.
our pinnacle is not creating monkey pictures.
Yeah. And like... as a result, it's like, you know what, you know, yeah, celebrities like get to rock our cool products. Like that can be the end all be all of like what Web3 has like
yeah
introduced into our reality.
Yeah, agreed.
Right?
It can't be.
That would be pretty surprising if it ends up being that. And like this whole, you know, Digix discovery and everything else surrounding that just completely faded. It's like, you know what? This is not interesting. This is yeah. leave it alone.
We don't need digital physics.
No. No point. Stop. Just stop.
Yeah. How does that change my monkey picture?
Well, actually, I think it will in a lot of ways. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
Monkey picture holders. Should be interesting times ahead.
Are you referring to non-fungible, non-arbitrary tokens?
I mean, potentially, I don't know. I'm just referring to a lot of things at this point, dude.
Yeah.
This is quite the mind fuckery. I'm just simply like wondering like where everything goes from here. Cause I'm already like in like a limbo of like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know? So we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's it for us. That's been our podcast. We've talked about a lot of stuff, Bitcoin, physics.
Yeah, I think
thermodynamics.
So would you say like we succeeded? Like if this was the last time we ever talked about DMT and non-arbitrary tokens, like would you be?
Yes.
Okay. Because yeah. I was saying like that should be our goal. It's like, you know what? Let's just put it all out there. Everything that's been like swimming around in our brain vessels. Let's put it all out there. Like, imagine we got hit by a bus tomorrow. It's like, now would these ideas live on without us?
Yeah, I think they will.
Sweet.
We did it.
All right, sweet.
Yeah, we did our job.
All right.
Cool. All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching. Make sure you share this video, share the podcast, everything with friends or enemies, whatever you guys, like, mingle with.
Okay. Those damn enemies. We love to mingle with those, dude.
I send all my enemies YouTube videos.
Specifically this one.
All right, guys. Anyways, yeah, that's it for us. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll catch you in the next podcast.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the BlockRunner podcast. Make sure you visit the website at theblockrunner.com and sign up to stay up to date on the latest crypto. Reach out to us on Twitter at theblockrunner.